Good morning. How good it is to be in a spirit of worship this morning in the beauty of this place. Another absolutely beautiful Sunday morning, welcomed in by beautiful music. Of course, it is Mother's Day, so we lift up mothers in our midst, and the mothers of us all, the many ways in which the word mother has been lived into and embodied, for that we give thanks. I want to welcome everyone this morning, but extend a special welcome to those who might be visiting with us for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, I invite you to fill out a card on either end of the pew. I believe there's some in the middle as well. Just some brief information so we can be in touch with you and you can learn more about us. When you fill that out, you can leave it on the pew when you leave and someone will collect it, or you can place it in the basket to the right of the door in the back. I trust that all of you know that whether visitor or regular, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. You know, if this pastor thing doesn't work out, I've decided to become a newscaster because the announcements, I need a teleprompter. Once again, lots of announcements, the sign of a busy and healthy and active church, I tell myself, but lots of things coming up, so once again, going to go through these nice and slow. Lots of them are in the bulletin for your reading, for which I give thanks in case I forget any details, but I do just want to mention them out loud. So, in your bulletins, there is an insert with information about the basket raffle, information about the Strengthen the Church offering, of which there is an envelope in your bulletin, or it might have fallen out of your bulletin as you picked it up this morning, but that envelope is in your bulletin. Gives a little bit of information about that offering, that special offering of the church, so please tune into that. On the back side of that insert, there is updated and correct information about the Lansdale Gun Violence Awareness Day. Last week we had some information that needed to be updated. This week it is correct. So the walk will happen on May 21st. It will begin and end at Trinity Lutheran. So if you are looking to attend this event, head in that direction. On the back side of your bulletin, there is information about Reverend Dr. Tim Aaron's book, and I will introduce him in just a moment. There's also information about the Feed My Starving Children event that's happening on the 19th. More information, once again, about Manna on Main Street and some of their recent needs. I believe those are all the ones that are in the bulletins. So now to my little pile here. May 21st, next Sunday, the Stampers will be selling their handmade greeting cards during fellowship after the second service. So head downstairs every week, but next week in particular, there will be Stampers with cards to sell. And because it is Mother's Day, after worship this morning, members of St. John's Stewardship Committee will be distributing kisses, the Hershey kind, it says, to all mothers and to any women who have ever mothered someone. So please feel free to grab a kiss on your way out from members of our stewardship committee. Also wanted to make an announcement that next week, also on the 21st, there is the next visioning session. So lots happening. It's a good reason to head downstairs next week. There's a lot going on. Our visioning session next Sunday will focus on outreach, the outreach quadrant of our visioning cross. So next Sunday after church in Assembly Hall from about 12 to 1, so feel free to head downstairs, grab a snack, and then head over. This is our third of four visioning sessions, and I know many of you have attended the other ones. They're very important for the life and future of our church, so please make it a point to head over there next Sunday. I do want to welcome Reverend Dr. Tim Aarons, who is with us this morning, who will be offering our sermon and who is joining me in leading worship this morning. It's wonderful to have you with us and wonderful to have you leading worship alongside of me. Okay, I don't think I've forgotten anything, but there's always a chance. But for now, I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. I hope it is not the first deep breath you've taken today, but maybe it is, so make it a good one. I want to invite you to breathe in God's Spirit that is very much present and alive in this place. And then exhale and feel yourself relax. Set all of those announcements to the side. Slow your mind and your heart down from all the busyness of the week and the day. And join me in becoming fully present in this time and in this place and with these people as we lift and open and praise God in the worshiping this morning, and as we continue in our Easter season to proclaim that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Thank you.
please join me in our responsive call to worship. How do we keep God's commandments and show our love for the one who has poured out such love for us in abundance? We offer all that we have and all that we are as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We are not perfect, but we are created by God and in God's image, with unique gifts and graces to glorify God and to serve our neighbors. Jesus calls each of us to abide with one another just as he abides with us. Christ calls us together as many parts of one body for worship, service, and praise. May we be transformed by the renewing of our minds and hearts through Christ's presence in each of our lives and in our life together. May the transformation begin now as we gather to worship this day. Amen. Let us confess our sins together by praying our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are familiar with your commandment of love, but we confess that at times we like to make some slight alterations to better suit us and our lives. When we offer love to only those we like, those we agree with, and those we deem worthy, forgive us. When we only express our love for you when everything is going our way, forgive us. When we are too distracted, preoccupied, and busy to feel and savor your presence, but then claim that you have forgotten or abandoned us, forgive us. Open our hearts to all the ways you are abiding with us, O God, and teach us that the best way to abide with you is to keep your commandments. Open our eyes to your presence, God of love, that we might truly live, move, and have our being in and through you. Amen. Friends, when we confess our sins, when we claim our mistakes, when we ask for God's help, our eyes and our hearts are opened, and we are able to experience God's abiding love in new and renewed ways. We are forgiven by the gift of grace. May we accept that gift this day and offer it to others as abundantly as it has been shared with us. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We have three scripture readings this morning, the third of which, our gospel reading, will be read by Reverend Tim right before his sermon. But the first scripture reading, words of Paul from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. Then Paul stood in front of Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely spiritual you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all peoples to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God, and perhaps fumble about for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. And our next reading, also words of Paul, from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness.
Okay, good morning and happy Mother's Day to everyone. I hope, are there kids out there? This is the children's time. I need your help. I really need your help. I can't do this alone. So all the kids, you please come up. And teens, you can come up too. Just think that you were a kid once, not long ago. So I invite all of them, young at heart, come and join me on the front steps. I still see teens out there. Come on, teens. Oh, you never get to be one of these, okay. Good morning. Good morning. Tell me your names. I'm Tim. What's your name?
Andy.
Andy.
Gwen.
Gwen.
Rosie.
What is it, Rosie?
Yep.
Okay. And
Carolyn.
Carolyn. Well, good. And
Addie.
I didn't reach that button. And Addie, thank you. It's nice to be with you this morning. Do you know what's special about today?
It's Mother's Day.
Oh, good. You knew. I'm glad you knew. Who told you that it was Mother's Day? Your dad's good. You come from really good families, right? Yeah, in some families, guess who tells you? Your mom. It's like, reminds you. So it's really good that your dad reminded you. Thank you for that answer. That was a great answer, Rosie. Thank you for that. And so, like, what do you think it takes? And I'm going to need your help. So what do you think it takes to be a great mom? Do you have an idea? What are some of the things that it takes to be a great mom?
Feeding your children.
Being what?
Feeding your children.
Feeding your children. Thank you.
Do you have an idea? One? You got one?
Helping them when they're sad.
Okay, helping them when they're sad. That's good, yeah.
Giving us shelter.
Giving us shelter. So food, shelter, emotional support, right? I'm translating for the adults if they exist. Okay, and anything else you want to add?
If they get hurt, you need to help them.
If they get hurt, you need to help them. That's a great one. I like that. Addie, do you have one? What would be a one that you would add takes to be a great mom?
Lots of deep breaths.
Patience. Patience. Okay. So when you say to us, take a deep breath, you learned that from your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Addie, take a deep breath. So I have someone that was special in my life. Where's my mom? She's here today. Right there. My mom is here today, and I know it's hard to believe, yeah, but she is 95 years old. And you know what my grandson, one of my grandsons, I have seven grandchildren, but one of them said, "Papa, that is really, 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 really old." His great-grandmother. So she's right over there. She's sitting next to my sister and brother. But yeah, she taught me a lot of things, all those things. And I even heard her say something this morning. If he would just stop talking. And that's all I heard, but I heard her voice. It's still out there. She was saying it to my brother, if he would just stop talking. Can you imagine my mom would say that about me? I mean, we haven't known each other long. But anyway, so here is somebody who was like a mom, had all of the things that you talked about that are special about mom. She cared for me when I was sad. She fed me. She always took me in on days when my mom said, "Why don't you go visit Aunt Ethel?" Her name was Ethel Schellenberger, and she lived just a few blocks from us. But she was, like, so important in my life. And I wanted to bring Aunt Ethel up today because Ethel Schellenberger, who hangs, this picture hangs on the wall in the library there, so you may have seen it before, but I was worried I couldn't get it off the wall because it would be too hard and too heavy. But I did, so I brought it in. I'll put it back. But what she taught me was so many things about how to pay attention to the earth and to everybody else. And when I would go to her home, there were always cookies and milk. This is for everybody else to hear. Always cookies and milk. She always just made, and you know what? She made me feel like the most special person in the world. And so I want to celebrate our moms who do all the things that you talked about, and also our other moms, the women in our lives who are there for us when we need them, who take care of us. Some of them, are there women in your lives like that, like teachers? Anyone that you can think of? Yeah, Rosie.
The principal in my school.
The principal in your school. That's really cool. You know what's really cool? Is the principal in your school is a woman. That's really cool.
The nurses.
The nurses? Like the nurses everywhere or in your school? Just everywhere, okay, right?
Our family.
Your family, so other women in your family.
Your teacher.
The teachers. You guys are so good. Can I take you back to Columbus with me? You're really good at this. Okay, so that's what I want you to think about. Think about your moms, and I'm thankful that your dad's told you about today so that you knew. And think about the other women in your lives who are like mothers to you. And there's lots of them at St. John's in my life that were that way when I was growing up, because I grew up here. I know it's hard to believe. I was once little. But you know what? We didn't have children's times back in the day. This is really nice. And I could hear my mom saying, "Just stop talking." So let's say together, Happy Mother's Day on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Happy Mother's Day.
All right, let's pray together. And I'll open and you follow, okay? Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us, with our mothers and special women in our lives who touch our lives deeply. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you. You guys are awesome. I wish I could come back next week. You're really the best. Thank you. I would like the four who just joined me on the steps, the four young women, to stand again, if wherever you are. You didn't go out, did you? You're all here. Stand up a second. Because I don't know the liturgy well enough, I didn't go into the Lord's Prayer at the end of children's time. So I don't want to miss it. So actually, I'd like all the children and teens. The teens can stand where you are. You don't have to come back up. Please stand and lead us in the Lord's Prayer. And if you need your bulletin, it's there. Everyone who is young and was up here with me, lead us in the Lord's Prayer as we join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, beginning in the 15th verse. Listen for the word of God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Amen. It is good to be back at St. John's. And I just want to say a couple of things before beginning today. First, a huge thank you and celebration for your two amazing ministerial staff leaders in Addie and Andrew. I want you to know, because I know I'm going to share it with you, Addie will have a birthday on May 22nd and Andrew on May 30th. And they still, neither one of them has reached their mid-30s. I mean, that's how wonderful and young they are. So happy birthday in advance to the two of you. And in the first days of June, you will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of Addie among you. She's been here 10 years, so I'm going to preempt that moment.
I'll actually only be starting my 10th year.
Oh.
But it feels like 10.
It's her 9th anniversary. Okay, well, we take back
our
applause.
But we're starting the 10th, so.
Starting your 10th. You have carried us as a congregation. I'll add myself to the us through some very challenging days. We're going to give you an ovation for 9. And that just starts you into 10. So.
That's right. Kick off.
We celebrate you very much. Would you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. Amen. 40 years ago this summer, from this pulpit, I preached my first sermon. It went about as well. It's not going well now. So it went about as well as anyone's first anything, anywhere, anytime. I came home to lunch that day, and as the Aaronses are notorious for, we had two things: a great Sunday lunch fixed by my mother, and an equally thorough and complete critique of the entire service. I pray for any of you that come to dinner after church at our place, especially the pastoral leaders. My dad, as always, had a lot of questions about one particular preacher that day. Now, my dad's gift was questions. It's what he spent his life doing, was asking and getting answers to questions. Sometimes it drove me nuts when they were pointed at me. And on this particular day, he asked me some leading questions about a certain Yale Divinity School student who used certain Yale Divinity School words as he was preaching. He handed me five words, all spelled correctly, of course. One of them was existentialism. What's wrong with existentialism? Anyway, he said, these are five words that you should probably avoid using in preaching ever again because they're rarely used by anyone, anywhere, anytime. Right? He said, I believe, and this is the authoritative word of God, I believe it is the job of the preacher to translate such words and relate them to our daily walk of faith. So in honoring my father, I will stay away from esoteric words. And I should also note that my father's admonition on that day, as so many things that he gave to me in my life, have guided me every day since then. He was right. My father was the greatest natural theologian I ever knew. He was a people's theologian. He could speak all of our language and do it better than the preachers. He was the best. Anyway, today, I want to look at Paul. I want to look at Jesus. These two give us some insights into idolatry, gutsy, resurrection, faith, and most of all, love. So let's get going. Last Sunday in Acts 8, we were watching Saul, who we know later as Paul when he converts. We were watching Saul witness Stephen being stoned to death as the first Christian martyr. It was perhaps the lowest point recorded in the scriptures that point to Saul as a persecutor of Christians. From Acts 8 to Acts 17, not only does Saul go through a total conversion of heart, mind, soul, and faith, he also sets himself up for martyrdom, too. In Acts 17, he steps into the heart of Athens and takes on the Athenians. He is gutsy and foolish, as he would say, a fool for Christ. He takes his stand in the open space at the Acropolis, surrounded by people and statues of gods, and he lays it out for folks. There in the heart of pagan culture, circa 40 AD, he tells them how unimpressed he is with them. In true Pauline manner, he makes it clear to everybody within his presence, with his booming voice, that they've got it all wrong. Yikes! He says, "It is plain to see that you Athenians take your religion seriously. When I arrived here the other day, I was fascinated with all the shrines I came across, and then I found one inscribed to the god nobody knows. I'm here to introduce you to this god so that you can worship intelligently and know who you're dealing with." So the first thing that Paul does is points out their idolatry and all the idols they have, the unknown gods they worship, those they don't even know who they are, right? I want to tell you to dwell on this, not to dwell on this on Mother's Day, just to look a little bit at ourselves. What do we have as idols in our lives? What do we cling to in our lives? We have them at church, I can tell you that. One of the things we do in church is we idolize the way we do things. And I speak to this as a pastor who does it all the time. You know, the seven last words of the church are, "We have never done it that way," right? Sometimes in church we have so many sacred cows that the church itself smells like a cow pasture on a sultry day. Now, when I started out in ministry, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. We came to our first autumn, and I was presented with a brown robe, a frock, if you will, like a Franciscan monk. I was told that I needed to wear the brown robe every Sunday when the Cleveland Browns were playing football. Now, I did a little math, and I figured that was like 30% of the year that I had to wear this brown robe. And by the way, it was like one of those robes that was really hot, made out of wool, so it wouldn't work on some Sundays anyway. But anyway, so I made a deal with everybody. I didn't want to wear the brown robe all the time. I had a robe my parents had just given me, by the way. So I said, here, I will wear the brown robe every Sunday after the Cleveland Browns have a victory. So I dropped the number of Sundays I wore the robe from 30% to 5%. Very good. It was really pretty funny. Our God in Cleveland wore a brown robe, right? Wait, but your God in Philadelphia wears eagle green, so I just have to say, fly, God, fly. So we have idols, don't we? Each one of us has idols in our lives. What are you powerless over? What are your unknown and unknowing gods? What are your idols? Think about it. We will start the idol recovery meeting in the fellowship hour in Assembly Hall at 11:30 a.m., so I have to finish up. Paul's not done with them, though. He's not done with idolatry. He knows not when to stop. So he goes on. The God who made the world and everything in it is the master of sky and land, he continues. This God doesn't live in custom-made shrines or need the human race to run errands for him. As if he couldn't take care of himself, he makes creatures, all of the creatures. The creatures don't make him. Starting from scratch, God made the entire human race and all that inhabits the earth, with plenty of time and space for living, so we could seek after God and not just grope around in the dark. We could actually be with him. He doesn't play hide and seek, Paul continues. He's not remote. He's near. He lives with us. He moves with us. He can't get away from us, and we can't get away from him. One of your poets said it well. He tells the Athenians, we were God created. Well, if we are God created, he says to conclude, it doesn't make a lot of sense to think we could hire a sculptor to chisel a god out of stone, does it? Now, that's it. He's finished. You kind of think that they're going to use their chisels on the sculptures to make stones for themselves and get rid of him. But they give him a break this time. The Athenians are really nice. So he's a gutsy Christian. I was trying to imagine how bold and gutsy these declarations are in the context of our present-day religion and culture. It might look like this. A man stands up on Mother's Day in the sanctuary and declares, you know what? There's really only one day of the year we should celebrate parents, and that's Father's Day. Fathers forever! No more Mother's Day! That would be not only gutsy, it would be stupid, and he would never see another Mother's Day, if you know what I mean. See, that's what Paul's doing. That's a comparison. That's how crazy it is. Even though he has a firm grasp of his beliefs, his knowledge, and his experience of worshiping Christ, he's bold when he does it. He keeps appealing to reason for the Athenians. But in the end, he risks rejection and persecution by proclaiming the most unreasonable thing of all, that Christ has risen from the dead. Think about that. He shows this to all of us. He risks to stand up for something in this world, and then he does it. He knows there are limits to the natural world and reason. He reaches the end of reason, and he steps into resurrection. Paul knows that some things cannot be logically explained. Later, he will write in 1 Corinthians 15 about resurrection, but he ends his thoughts there with, Christ is rising from the dead as a mystery. He calls it a mystery. So he reaches the end of reason and says, I don't understand this. I've got to tell you, all of us feel that way. We come into the Easter season, and we might not understand all the details of how this body gets knit back together and comes back as a new person. It doesn't matter that we understand the details. It matters that we know what resurrection looks like. That we know what happens when new life comes. That we know what happens when something happens beyond us, and sometimes in spite of us. I've always loved that about Paul. He loves reason, but he also loves Jesus more than reason. Think about that. He's the church's first great biblical theologian, and believe it or not, I do know that he gets a lot of things wrong. But so do all the other theologians, to be honest with you. He is also a prophet and a poet and a purposeful man. In Romans 12, we heard today about what it means to live the life of following Christ. It's a powerful description, and it goes on from there. It calls us to be humble in the work that we do. But Paul is able to acknowledge the mystery of God, and that's where it ends in this day, for me talking about him, but it's where we move into Jesus. Well, while Paul focuses on how to live in Christ, Jesus is all about love. Love. Love is only the only thing that matters. It was actually from this pulpit many years ago, Bob Bertolette, in celebrating John Touchberry, said that John Touchberry had only one sermon that he preached for 25 years, and it was love. And he was right. And I've often thought about that. Jesus has one sermon, and it's love. He has love. He's all about love. He's about love and justice, as we'll see. Today's gospel selection follows directly on last week's talking to the disciples when they were all worked up last week. They get worked up a lot. Orienting them about how to live, Jesus says, you just need to remember, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's not a dry injunction to obey. It's not an order. Jesus refers here to the depths of covenant that are ground in the Jewish people's daily prayers that we find in Deuteronomy. To keep the commandments is to, in the words of Jesuit theologian Silvano Fausti, to put into action what flows from the love of the heart that knows it is loved. In spite of Jesus' constant love, the disciples also knew something. They knew their weaknesses. They knew how deeply they struggled to love. They knew that they struggled with their anxiety about Jesus. He had been crucified and now was resurrected. So these comforting words that he offers them might be the most important words in the New Testament. Listen carefully what he says. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans. Helping them face his continuing absence, he didn't set up any super plan for them. He just made a promise. I'm going to send the Spirit to you. I'm going to send the Spirit of love to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and you'll be okay. The Holy Spirit will be with you. You'll be okay. I love that because I can tell you in nearly 40 years of ministry now how many times I have had folks say to me, when their mother is gone, when their father is gone, I feel like an orphan. There's a point at which you feel all alone in the world, all alone facing everything. But Jesus' words to you, to me, to all of us through time is, I'm not going to leave you in that state of being. I'm with you. I'll bring you through that. The word another is very important here because he's acknowledging that he carries the Holy Spirit, but he's going to send yet another Spirit to them who will lead them and teach them, who will take them to unfathomable depths of understanding and love. When our spiritual leaders are gone, and I'm standing in the pulpit, which was mostly occupied for 42 years by the best pastor I have ever known, Sue Bertolette. She was your pastor. So I know how you must feel that orphan feeling of missing her, especially this first Mother's Day without her. We have this promise that she would be the first to tell us, you are not alone, you are not orphaned, you have the Spirit and Christ to be with you. We feel that way, don't we? We feel alone when our mothers die, when our fathers die. We need to cling to these words at that time. We need to cling to these words of promise. Though we may feel like orphans, though we may feel alone, we have this promise from Jesus that gets repeated in all sorts of ways. Jesus wants us to hear that we are going to go on, that we are going to go on living, that we will have the kind of living that is not just about survival, it's about thriving, that we will move on as he did. and as he showed us to. The other thing is he talks about this as though it's the Trinity, and it is the Trinity at work, the Father, the Spirit, and him working together to invite us into a life of love. And so he takes us there and binds us there together in love. In this passage, we find our Christian understanding of the commandment to love God and love neighbor. The deeper our love for others, the more passionate we will be for their good and for justice in their names. We will be able to communicate our reasons for hope better. We will be able to lift up our hearts and theirs better. We will be able to free ourselves from structures and denominations and things that hold us in place and hold us captive sometimes. And we'll be able to act not like orphans, but like lovers who embody joy in all we do. From Paul to Jesus, from Athens to Jerusalem, we received some very special gifts this Mother's Day, this sixth Sunday of Easter, gifts of encouragement, gifts of love. And just as we need to receive these gifts, we need to share them as well. In the spirit of Paul and Jesus, I'd like to close with a few thoughts. First, this. In gratitude, I want to close in gratitude. I love you. I love St. John's. I have loved you all my life. It all started a month and a day after I was born in this darkened sanctuary on a Monday. My grandfather, Hugo Kellermeyer, baptized me right there. At that time, there was some space there and a font there. He baptized me into Christian faith. I wasn't baptized into St. John's. I was baptized into Christ, like all of us have been. But it's St. John's that showed me what Christ looked like. You showed me what Christ looked like. You embodied love for me all the days of my childhood. I have so many wonderful memories, and I won't tell you any of them, so you can go home today. But I'll tell you this. Your love for me is a love I have seen for everyone who has walked through the doors of this church through my lifetime. My baptism into Christ and your baptism into Christ ties us together. As my family, you have always been there. You've been there for me when I was growing up as pastors and teachers, as musicians and missionaries, as softball players and camp counselors, as my friends and confirmands as we grew up together, all shaped me as a person of faith. I was blessed by you, and you changed my life, literally for good. But this is not about me. I only share it as a testimony, as a witness of one. This is about you. This is about the community of love you've created. This is about the beautiful spirit that has been in this place and will be in this place forever. You have nurtured that spirit of love. And now new generations are coming along, and you'll continue to share that. And before I go, I have a few more things to say. I know I keep saying that, but it's important. I walked in here this morning, and I want you to know to not take this place for granted ever. I've worshiped all around the world. I've been in some great cathedrals. But this space is one of the most sacred spaces anywhere. So although you can venture lots of places, the light, the brightness, the joy in this house of God is just permeates the space. So as you go out, carry the beauty that you have already in you and multiply it, as Jesus would say, for love. I implore you to live in God's words of love as he commanded all of us. It's funny, he only gave one commandment. We think of the 10, but those weren't Jesus' commandments. He gave one, love one another. That's all he told us to do. That's all we have to do. And love looks like this. It's emotional, yes, but it's also just. Love is peace. Love is transformational. Love is everything. When all else peels away, fades away, walks away, runs away, moves away, love remains. Paul says in Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, not one thing. So, finally, as I sit down, the first person who loved me is in this room. She taught me what love looked like. And she's the one, as you already heard, that says, time to be quiet. She had to say that to me every day after I came out of her. So, Mama, I've heard you. She brought my sister, my brother, and me into this world and then into this church to show us what faith looks like, to love us so that we could be loved by you. Every single day, each of us has lived our lives in love because of my mom. I'm saying that for the three of us. And she owes that to the commandment that she learned and lived to love one another. Thank you, Mom. Let's do it. Let's love one another. I believe we can. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I have quite a few joys and concerns to lift up. We'll begin with the joys. Ethan Moyer, son of Jen Moyer and grandson of Jim and Judy Lederach, graduated from California University of Pennsylvania on May 6th. It's hard to imagine that he's already graduated from college, but we certainly celebrate Ethan and we celebrate with his family. It is, of course, yesterday was Lorene Ahrens' 95th birthday, so we celebrate her this day, and the fellowship time after worship this morning will be put on by the Ahrens family to celebrate Lorene and to celebrate this community, so please join for that. Quite a few concerns to lift up this morning. Last week I mentioned that Bob Fritz was in the hospital. He is home from the hospital, but both he and Jean are still dealing with COVID, so our prayers continue for Bob and Jean. Our prayers also continue for Linda Horst, who continues to be in the hospital. Of course, we also pray for Leroy as he is by her side, as she continues to deal with some ongoing issues. I received word on Friday that Mary Lou Schultz passed away early Friday morning. No arrangements have been made yet, but certainly we will let you know when they are available. But we keep Mary Lou's family in our prayers. John Sands has asked for prayers for family and friends of Edward Gary, who passed away on Tuesday, prayers for his wife and children in this difficult time. Ed was a co-worker and friend of John's. We keep Peter in our prayers, who was just diagnosed with a brain tumor. And Gail Linderman has asked for prayers for her cousin Greg Ott, who is in Grandview Hospital experiencing some health issues. Lots of people to pray for this morning, and of course we each come to a time of prayer with our own joys and concerns on our hearts and minds, so I want to invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up to God together in prayer. Loving God, your Spirit is so very present among us each time and in whatever way we gather. Make us aware of your presence now, O God, as we lift up our hearts, our desires, our soul's deep needs, our hungers and thirsts, our sufferings, our fears, our hopes, all to you. Though our intentions are so often good, we know that we have failed to listen for your voice and to act in ways that keep your commandments of love, patience, compassion, and grace. We know we have overlooked the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the grieving among us. We have valued what it looks like we're doing above what we're actually doing. As individual disciples and as a church community, we pray that you will use our hearts, our hands, our very lives to be and to do the gospel. Tune us into your Spirit's urgings, O God, and awaken us that we might live fully and faithfully as called and beloved people in a changing, often hurting world. God, we pray for those around us who need your care. We pray for the parts of ourselves that are in need of your care, and ask that you would make of us your instruments of healing and peace and redemption. God, this day we pray especially for Bob and Jean, for Linda and Leroy, for Peter and Greg, and we ask that for all those who are in the hospital or recuperating at home, that those who are beside them, those caring for them, might be filled with your grace and your patience and your peace, that they might know a true sense of comfort and healing in these times. And God, we lift up the family of Mary Lou Schultz and Edward Gary and ask that you be with all who are grieving. And God, just as we weep with those who weep, we also rejoice with those who rejoice. And we think especially this day of Ethan as he celebrates his graduation. We think of the family that surrounds him and cheered him on. God, we give you thanks for all who are graduating, all who are experiencing new excitement and new phases in their lives. God, we give you thanks for Loreen, and we celebrate her birthday this day. We give you thanks for all the lives who are testaments to your love and faithfulness. God, we give you thanks for mothers on this Mother's Day, those who have mothered us in a variety of ways, the mothering parts of each of us, the ways in which that word and that role have been lived into and embodied. God, surround all of us with your warm embrace, that as people of renewed faith, we may be comforted, but then empowered to go out and to serve your world, to be reflectors of your light, to be givers of your love. We offer our prayers and our very lives in the name of your Son, Jesus, who speaks truth, who challenges, who hears our prayers. All of these things we do indeed pray in the name of Christ. Amen. We now have the opportunity to receive this morning's offering, the gifts that have been shared. If you didn't get a chance to drop your offering in the plates by the door on your way in, feel free to come up after the service and to drop it in after it has been blessed. It will all be blessed, trust. And now I invite you to stand and to join in singing our doxology as our offering is brought forward and as we dedicate it to God. Good and gracious God, you are indeed giver and gift. For these gifts, and for the hands and the hearts that offered them generously and freely, we give you thanks this day. God, as we as a church community seek to do the work of love you have called us to do, we ask that we might use these gifts with integrity, with good stewardship, and in ways that continue your message of love to all people. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
it wasn't that long ago in this house of God that you would have been singing Mutterlieb, Mother's Love. As we go today, let us carry the love of God with us in all that we do and all that we say. Let us be ever wrapped by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and always be in and with, knowing that the Spirit is with us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, go. Amen.